Matthew 26. Colossians 4. Okay, Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Notice, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he says, Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation, that the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, often you preach about praying that you enter not into temptation, but it seems like we forget the watch part. Watch and pray, watch and pray. And the thing that was shocking to him in verse 40 is that they were not watching with them for 1 hour. What does that mean? Watch what? Watch and pray. Okay, in Colossians 4, verse 2, this will pull this truth towards us. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's that idea, watch. Watch and pray. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to understand this truth, this idea of watching. Help us know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful soldiers and watch, be alert, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, look in, if we would, in Nehemiah 4. I'm going to read several places in Nehemiah, or a long passage there. Nehemiah 4. Black's Law Dictionary, it seems like I can get better definitions out of there, even out of the Bible. Bible words. If you look up the word watch, it will have watch, and then in the fourth edition it has watch and ward. Watch, the definition, is to keep guard during the night. Ward is to keep guard during the day. Interesting terms. But a person here in Nehemiah 4, you'll see that Ezra and Nehemiah, both of them deal with spiritual work. And Nehemiah 4, basically, here's what you will experience if you try to do something for the Lord, some sort of a ministry. And I say a ministry, just working with one person is a ministry. Nehemiah 4, verse 1, But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded a wall... Okay, so the spiritual applications, we're trying to build our lives, build the lives of other people. Okay, so in this process, building a wall for the Lord, pass out tracts, street preach, whatnot. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So people are going to make fun of you. Now you get out in the streets, you're going to see this. You know, that's the horn for Satan. And you're going to see the IQ, the bird. You're going to have people yell at you. They're going to, you know, mock you. Okay, that's what Sanballat's doing. Verse 2, And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews, going to make fun of you? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive? There's a revival. The stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So there's sarcasm. And so their duty, here's a remedy here, verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their head, or upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So when somebody mocks you as far as the work goes, you don't sit there and pout about it. They've been so mean to me and all this stuff. You just go on, ignore them. If professional athletes can put up with what they put up with for millions of dollars, we should put up with what we do for the sake of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, so we builded a wall, and all the wall was joined together, and a half thereof for the people had a mind to work. Now the wall is built. Now they've become a force in a community of some type. So now the enemy is going to pull a different technique. The first one didn't work. The outward ridicule did not work, so now they're going to do something else. Okay, verse 7, here's what they do. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come in a fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now you have a conspiracy. Now, all the talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, if you bring up the conspiracy, he's going to make fun of you. He's going to mock you. Conspiracy theory, ha, 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 you're a kook. Anybody's got a brain in their head knows there's a conspiracy. It ain't a theory, it's a fact. And he mocks, Limbaugh mocks the Council on Foreign Relations. Ha, 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 yeah, yeah. All he has to do is go downtown New York or, find their address. They got it all in the building. People who want to dominate America, control America. Nothing new about that. The Catholic Church, there's a guy named Ignatius Loyola who founded the Jesuits, Jesuit priests. And Jesuit priests infiltrate Protestant churches to split them. They do it on purpose. See, if you can't beat them, join them. But the idea of joining them is to get in there and split them up. Conspiracy. That's a conspiracy. Anybody knows that there are very, very wealthy people in the world, bankers especially, who want to steal from everybody, but they want to do it in a fashion nobody picks it up. Same goes on in a church. A conspiracy. A new evangelist named Doug Marco, and he was a pastor for a short bit. I don't know what he's doing now. Lost track of him. He grew up Catholic, and he was going to a Jesuit school. But yet he was a class clown, where he would ask questions to the professors of all the inconsistencies that he would notice. Of course, that's going to be endless in a Catholic church. And eventually they booted him out of school because he was too disruptive in the school. And he figured, well, since I'm lost and going to hell, according to the Catholic Church, I might as well go the whole way. He went to a Baptist church and got saved. While he was pastoring, a couple came to his church. He thought husband and wife. They got saved, got baptized. 6 months go by. She walks in his office and said, "Preacher, I want to get saved." He said, "You just did 6 months ago." She said, "No, this time I really want to get saved. And you don't know why we're here." He said, "Well, okay, tell me about it." And they were two Jesuits, were not married, two Jesuits that came in. She was Jesuit as a nun. He was a Jesuit priest. Infiltrated the church and were trying to split it. Cause dissension. Conspiracy. And they didn't get divorced because they weren't married. She just quit doing that, living with him, and then he kind of went wacko. And he went to the authorities, and somehow, some way, they exposed this guy. And then Doug did a research on this guy, and he had done this in 9 churches before, prior to this. Infiltrate and split it. Why do the Catholics do that? That's their way of earning get out of purgatory. Evidently, it's a free card, get out of purgatory card. I'm not sure what it is. That's what they teach them. Okay, now the same goes in the church. The same goes in the Patriot movement. Federal agents infiltrate, come into church and all that stuff? Yeah, you're welcome. Come on in. I'm not doing anything wrong. Nothing to hide. See, so, but as far as this thing, there's conspiracy and conspired. Look at that. They conspired, all of them together, to come in a fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Okay, nevertheless, we made, verse 9, we made our prayer unto our God. So there's our prayer, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. There's watch and pray. Watch and pray. You see, it's not just work, and it's not just watch. It's a balance in there. If you're just watching, you're not doing anything. If you're just working, somebody's going to come and destroy your work, and then it's all done for nothing. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be on your guard. Verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that they were not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. Snuck in. You see, and what happens then, when Jesuits come into a church, if the preacher says something bad about Mary, then they will kind of go around and talk to certain people on the sly, say, well, Mary was a fine lady, you know, and go against the preacher. Yeah, Mary was a fine lady, the mother of Jesus Christ, but she was a sinner, and if she didn't trust Christ as her Savior, she's going to hell. And Mary cannot hear people's prayers. You don't have to come to Mary to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a mediator. Mary is not the mediatrix. Tricks are for kids. Okay, so as far as that goes. And that's what they do. It's just an infiltration. Okay, in verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto them, us 10 times from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they be upon you. 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after the families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Okay, so there's the watch. If you would, drop down to verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Okay, so the pilgrims, being living in a society where the Indians are available, the pilgrims came to church, and they brought 3 items. A Bible, a hymn book, and a gun. If I lived in a Muslim community, I would definitely be packing. And if anybody was kind of hefty around here, I would definitely be suspect. See, and you just have to be careful. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Okay, look if you would at Nehemiah 12. Now here's the areas where we need to guard more than anything. Guard Nehemiah 12, verse 45. This is probably the most important areas to guard. Nehemiah 12, 45. I'm just showing these verses, keeping in mind as we apply them a little bit later. It says, and both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God. Now that's the other word for watch. Watch and pray. Watch and ward, it's called. Guard in the daytime. What are they going to guard? And the ward of the purification, according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. After you got saved, your most important obligation is to walk with your God. In order to walk with your God, you must be holy. And to maintain your personal holiness is a full-time ministry in itself. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says, we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And it talks about cleansing yourself from the filth of the flesh and the spirit. Now, there are 2 things there, flesh and spirit. Now, the Christian life is like warfare. Okay, now we went paintballing, was it a week ago Saturday? Now, paintballing's a good sport. And there's a lot of good Christian applications in paintballing. Now, the kids in Colorado, when we worked out in Colorado Springs, they started paintballing before paintballing was invented. They used BB guns. And they'd run around the mountains. Of course, they had to watch for rattlesnakes and then the other BB guns. Okay, now that's good training. The Christian life is like the military. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So there's our weapons. Ephesians 6, 10, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So there's a soldier's armor, shield, sword. There's our obligations as a Christian. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. 3 says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. So the Christian life, a lot of times you don't realize it, especially if you've been raised in a Christian home, a good home. You don't realize that you're in a battle. This is a Christian life, and there's a lot of casualties going on in the Christians. A lot of wounded, a lot of POWs. And the thing is, you have to watch and pray. Never let your guard down. Never, never let your guard down. Now, when you're out in the woods like paintballing, got me a gun. Sick looking gun, but got me a gun. Okay. The first aspect, look in Acts chapter 20. The first aspect, and often the one that only is in the mind of people, is looking for the enemy. Looking for the enemy. You can see the enemy out there. I mean, hiding behind a tree, and you can see the guy. Oh, there's one. There's one. Yeah, there's one. And that's what they're looking at. Okay, you can spot the enemy. That's one aspect of war. You got to watch out for the visible enemy, the human flesh and blood. Now, Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But who are you going to be talking most of the time in spiritual warfare? Flesh and blood. There's something inside that flesh and blood which is motivating them. Okay, Acts 20 is like the farewell address of the Apostle Paul. He's in Ephesus and he's getting ready to leave. Acts 20, verse 27, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He's taught them all the counsel of God. Verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. There's the biggest thing. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch. Watch out. He said, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every man night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Watch out for the wolves. Now, like I already said, probably the biggest wolves would be the Jesuits. Georgetown University is a Jesuit university. You know, there's a man named Samuel Morris. Invented the Morse code. And the first thing that he publicly put across the Morse code was a little phrase came out of the Bible, came out of Numbers 32, and it said, what hath God wrought? Samuel Morse was honored by a lot of people about many of the inventions that he came up with, and they asked him what he thought about being honored. He said, well, I think it's kind of weird because it's not me that has the inventions, it's God that gives you the wisdom. Proverbs, I think it's 8:13, says that God gives you knowledge of witty inventions. And they ask him, what do you do when you can't figure out something? He says, I pray for light. Light from God. Now, interesting, Samuel Morse wrote two books that people don't tell you about. One was The Infiltration of America by the Jesuits. He warned about that. Popery. Called him. I have him in a couple footnotes in the Bible. And he warned strongly about it. Now, was he some radical fundamentalist against this crowd? Now, again, we try to show a Catholic how to be saved, how to trust the Lord as their Savior. We're not saying they're lost. No matter what church a person goes to, as far as salvation goes, salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Okay, but the system, the hierarchy, the infiltration. Okay, and you have to watch out. Now, this is really the easy part of war, looking for the enemy. That's kind of the easier part because you get to actually see a heretic. This, in Acts 20, you're looking for heretics. Now, how can you spot a heretic or somebody who's trying to promote a false doctrine? It's rather easy. All they do is they try to add a word, subtract a word, or change a word in this Bible to make it say what they want it to say. That's all they got to do. And if somebody is trying to use the Bible to show you something, observe them, watch out, watch them. And you watch to see, okay, is he adding anything? Is he subtracting anything? Is he changing the words? Is he pulling out of context? And if he is, he's promoting a false doctrine. Well, the English word here is this, and the Greek word, and another definition of the Greek word. Tell him to take his Greek restaurant and go take a flying leap to the moon. That's a heretic. Now, you see, that's the easy part. Okay, because this person, the heretic, has no final authority except himself. And there's another aspect of war that the Bible talks about that probably has more casualties than anything. Is as the person is out there in the woods watching for the enemy, he steps on a bomb and blows himself up to smithereens because he's forgotten about that aspect. There have been casualties in war where soldiers were just walking down a path, going from one place to the next. There's a toy on the road. They kick the toy off the road, and all of a sudden his leg's missing. Let their guard down. So you got to take this thing, and you got to go around and try to find the mines, the traps. See, but when you got your eyes down here, you're not looking for the guy up there. So there's an invisible war and there's a visible one. The visible one is the actual soldiers you're looking against, the actual enemy. The invisible one is the one that you don't... both of them get you. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy. Now, here's the invisible one, 2 Timothy. These are the snares, the traps. Now, it's very interesting. Now, this is what's sneaking in the churches right now. In fact, sneaking in, it's in our full board now. I don't care what kind, if you call them fundamentalists. Now, remember back in Nehemiah 12, I didn't say a whole lot about Nehemiah 12 verse, but they had singers and porters who were on ward. That's the music. They guarded that music. So very important. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, or 26, it says, 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It wasn't a soldier that got him captive, it was a snare that got him captive. A snare, a trap. Often, another word in the Bible is gin, G-I-N. Those are the hidden things. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Look in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now here's the hidden thing. I'm sure some of you remember during World War II there was a Japanese woman called Tokyo Rose. And what was her mission? Her mission was to continue the broadcast going out, and the soldiers pick up that, the enemy soldiers, the American soldiers, and she's trying to get in their brain. Ruin morale. She's trying to get into their spirit where they destroy themselves. Morale is so important. In the Christian life, what's killing churches nowadays is the music. You know, we're very, very strict on our music. You know, as far as the singing goes, we have certain ways that we like it to be sung. Is it just because we're picky, this way we want it? No, because you watch and pray. Nehemiah 12, 45, the porters and the singers were watching. Watch the music. Now, you see these Christian churches this morning, you won't hear words in the songs glorifying Satan, but the music glorifies Satan. The actual spirit coming out from the songs themselves, giving them fleshly thoughts, wicked thoughts. Where do these thoughts come from? Look, if you would, in John chapter 13. Now, knowing the Bible, Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So this watching part is to guard our spirit. What are you watching? You're watching yourself. You're watching your attitude. You're watching your own spirit. You're checking yourself. Do you lose your desire to study the Bible? Do you lose your desire to read the Bible? Do you lose your desire to fight? You lose that desire to live a righteous life, holy life? Okay, your spirit's already been damaged. And you get thoughts in your head. You'll get wicked thoughts. You'll get bad dreams at night. You'll get wicked dreams at night. Adulterous dreams. Where are these things coming from? So I'm trying to live a holy life and I'm dreaming this stuff at nighttime? You say, well, it's just showing your heart. Maybe so, but it's also the devil trying to take you out. He's working on your spirit. Where do these things come from? John chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Whoa. Who put something in his heart? We don't realize right now all these radio waves going through the air and the television waves going through the air. And the Bible says Satan is a prince of the power of the air. And a person gets drunk or on dope, they're picking up these airwaves. They're in a spirit world. That's why liquor is called spirits. And you see, these things get in our head, and now you got these cell phones everywhere. You got people's voices floating through the air everywhere. And these thoughts will come in your head. And if you're trying to live a holy life, the devil's going to try to get you to think impure thoughts. And it's the music. This rock music, country music is rock music. There ain't no difference. Rap and all this stuff, what they're doing is they're trying to dull your senses. You can't get away from it. You try to watch a baseball game, what are the commercials? There's a reason for these things. You go to the grocery store, try to buy something, they got it blaring through there. Go to a restaurant, they got it blaring through there. What are they doing? They're trying to dull your senses. You watch a football game, what kind of commercials they put during the timeouts? Used to be X-rated. Those would have been X-rated years ago. Now there are. What are they doing? They're trying to get in your head. You got to guard your spirit. You got to watch out for these things. You got to check your attitude. You see, a lot of times people are just looking for actions. That's the actual soldier. You're watching for the actions. But what about your attitude? Your spirit. Parents correct the actions or the wrong actions of their children. What about the attitudes of your children? A parent's desire is to be so close to your children that you could spot a little hint of a mess up in their heart. Communication lines just a little bit damaged here. What's wrong? Something's going on here. You see, you want to be so close to them. And you don't realize that the devil can give these thoughts. And we're all soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we're all susceptible to the snares and the traps of the devil. One of our, you know, my wife and I's favorite thing is that when we're late at night, you know, 9 o'clock at night, lay in bed, and here comes all the kids. Sit on the edge of the bed or in a little lazy boy chair, and we talk about what happened that day. That is one of the greatest joys, the closeness. You know, the thing about the play is the camaraderie that you have, the closeness. And that's the fun part of it. But you see, this spirit, we don't realize that Satan gives these thoughts. Kay told us about Mrs. Donovan down there in Pensacola. Brian Donovan is the one we had, you know, last March. His wife was going to a chiropractor. down there in Pensacola area. And obviously, if you're going to start studying a little bit of the alternative health, you're going to be noticing the new age thinking. You have to watch it like crazy. You've got to guard it. And I'm not saying you're not to stay away from the truths involved, but yet you have to be very cautious about what's being done. Well, here, Mrs. Donovan was sitting in the waiting room getting ready to go to this lady chiropractor, and she was sitting there thinking about her mother and had a joyous expression on her face, thinking about just memories of her mother. And here comes the chiropractor lady, is going to have her come to the, you know, work on her, and she says, it's good to think about your mother, to have good thoughts. Gives you great joy. And, of course, she just kind of, you know, sloughed it off the first time. And I don't know, you know, the next visitor, I don't know, a couple visits later or whatnot, while she was sitting there and kind of had a scowl on her face, she was thinking about Bill Clinton and the wicked politics and all this stuff. That's what Mrs. Donovan was thinking about. And the same woman comes out and says, oh, you ought not let politics hurt your spirit. Think about those things. Now, she's really wondering about what's going on here. And so then next time she goes in, she brings her husband with her. Brian goes in. So here's Brian and Mrs. Donovan sitting there. Here comes the same woman. And this same woman has invited Mrs. Donovan over to her house. So Brian's sitting there, and then this woman comes out, and she says, oh, I see. You come in to check me out, huh? What am I thinking? What am I, something like that. And then they said she went off on him. And her eyes like turned into snake eyes. And when they left, he said, you just got involved with a demonic dyke, which you got involved with. And you see, and that's the spirits involved. And do you realize this stuff is everywhere in America now? And what do you got to do? You got to know your enemy. You see, they work on your spirit, and you lose your desire to do right. You get an apathy about you. And I get the same thing. And you get these wicked thoughts in your head. You see, when you're trying to do something for the Lord, a soldier, you don't see the invisible war. Now, we know the invisible war in the Bible is dealing with devils, spirits, unclean spirits. And what do they picture in the Bible? Unclean birds, flies, mosquitoes. Okay, if somebody comes knocking on your door, and you there they are, and they've got 100 flies buzzing their head, you could see them. First off, you probably won't invite them in the house. But if you invite them in the house, do you think some flies are going to hang around? No doubt. And those unclean spirits hang around, and then you get a little bit of that person. Dirt rubs off. And a lot of times, if you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the devil's going to put a bullseye on your head. He's got to get rid of you. I have a videotape and a military manual on being a good sniper. You say, well, how'd you get a hold of that? Well, I got it from a preacher out in Michigan. Okay, and it trains you how to be a good sniper, the right kind of gun, you know, and everything. And in this thing, it has a story about a Russian sniper who was very, very effective, killed a lot of German soldiers, and so the German army said, we got to get rid of this guy. You see, if you're going to get a lot of folks saved, you're influence a lot of people, they're going to take you out. You're going to get more pressure put on you. So this German was the best German sniper they had, and this was the best Russian sniper. And he was over in, I forget what city they were in. And he kind of researched the thing out, figured out, got into the brain basically of the other sniper, and the German sniper eventually took out the Russian sniper. And what I'm saying is that when you are more effective for the Lord, when you have folks that you've won to Christ and you're going to become more of a target. And he's going to try to dull your senses. And you're going to think impure thoughts, wicked thoughts. And then you get wondering, where do those things come from? And what is our defense on these things? Well, you got to perfect holiness in the fear of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 7. You got to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, 2 Corinthians 7. So the weapons that we have, Jesus said in John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. So we get scripture in our head. Memorize more scripture. That would be our offensive weapon. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 12. Our defensive weapon or our shield is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb. Now, the thing that you're going to learn is, Derek, your spirit, the ones involved in the play this week, you're going to have a letdown this week. You have to be ready for it. Guard your spirit. Watch and pray. Whenever you have a great victory, there's a letdown afterwards. Elijah had a great victory in 1 Kings 18, where he stood up against 450 false prophets, stood against basically the entire nation of Israel, 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 19, he let one woman scare him to death. Major letdown. And you're going to have when you got a spiritual high, you're going to have a spiritual letdown. So you got to guard yourself from these things and be alert of it. In fact, in health training, if you're going to cleanse your liver, we have a liver cleanse. You have to know beforehand that when you cleanse your liver, you're going to get very irritable. You're going to get angry. You're going to get mad at people. Why? Anger is stored in your liver. The emotion of anger is stored in your liver, so when you clean your liver, the anger is coming out and you're going to get mad. Now, I would suggest if the wife is going to have the liver cleansed, don't have the husband have it. Never do it at the same time because you'll probably be in a divorce court after a couple weeks. Now, it's strange, but there's something to it. You know, I don't know if Jan was taking liver pills a couple weeks ago, getting mad about things. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I was taking them too, and I said, what am I so mad about? We quit taking that stuff for a while. And you got to guard your spirit. You got to watch your spirit. Okay, look in Revelation 12, verse 11. What is our defensive weapon or our shield? Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, they would be the Jews in the chapter, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Jesus Christ. Get a blood bath. Cleanse yourself with a blood bath of Jesus Christ. God, please cleanse my mind with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14, it says, the blood of Christ shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's our shield. Use it all. I tell you, with Harry Potter, Pokemon, all this stuff going on with these kids, you don't realize the spiritual force that's out there. Out there and in here. And when you're trying to help folks out, you know, when I'd go to the jail and try to help, a lot of devils in there, I had to clean myself up. I had a good friend trying to help somebody else out. This other person with a demonic major infested with devils. And this friend started acting like the one possessed with devils, and he committed suicide. What was it? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Guard your spirit. Watch and pray. You got to guard your spirit at all times. Don't want to be a casualty of war. But when folks get wounded, I guess it's only American Christianity that shoot their wounded. You know? They just, you know, POWs, just shoot them. That's American Christianity. That ain't right. The way the Bible would have us do it is somebody's wounded, is you help them out. You take care of the wounded. With great care and love, you try to rescue the POWs. Try to bring them back to the fold. Be faithful to God. But as far as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, your weapon, your offensive weapon, is that word of God. And the defensive weapon, your sword, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're not, I'm telling you, you're not going to remain holy in your thoughts and your mind if you do not utilize those weapons that God has given us. And if you don't watch and pray, your spirit will indeed be willing, but it's going to be weak as could be. And you're going to get shot, spiritually speaking. You're going to get shot, and you're going to be caught in a snare of Satan. And so like the Lord said, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Be on your guard, be on your guard, be on your guard all times. Never let down, never let down. Always be on your guard. So let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand these truths. Help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Help us to realize the influence of the world. Help us to see that we are in a battle. We are in a war. Spiritual warfare. And Lord, I thank you for the souls saved last night. And we ask for more for your glory. It's for your glory, for your honor. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us as we try to serve you and do something for you, that we are watch and pray. We're guarding. As parents, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be so close to our children, we can just spot any little problem, any little flaw in their attitude. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be so close to thee that we can keep our attitude in check and stay close to you and live a holy and pure life to please you. Our heads bowed and the eyes are closed. The instruments plays. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch our spirit. Watch our attitude. Be on guard. When you lose your desire to do right, and you just want to quit and give up, cleanse yourself of the shed blood of Christ. I didn't say if you want to quit. I said when. We all face it. All of us face it. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Watching for the enemy soldier, that's part one, but part two is the one that probably has more casualties. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. Lord, I know that, like this thing going on in Iraq right now, that the news media is not reporting the many suicides, high-level suicides. And the reason why is because the spirit is under attack. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us realize that also the same goes in spiritual warfare, and I pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee and guard our spirits and watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.